Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Kevin Bryant joins us right now. He is the author of a book called Spies on the Sidelines, which came to my attention. And I've got a friend, Brian Decker, who is with the Colts, who was special ops. He was the lead interrogator and investigator for not the Navy SEALs, but I'm trying to remember the other at top. Oh, not the SEALs, but who's Green Beret? Maybe Green Beret is who I'm thinking of here. And so the Colts brought him in to be part of it, and I had an hour and a half conversation with him about all the different things that he does, just in terms of trying to gain. To gain intel on draft prospects, things like that. When I saw Kevin Bryant's article, Spies on the Sidelines, the high-stakes world of NFL espionage, really wanted to get him on the air as well. Kevin joins us right now. Kevin, why don't you give people your background? Where do you come from, and what is your background that makes you uniquely qualified for this book?
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me on. So, yeah, I've got 23 years of experience working for the Department of Defense, collecting and protecting information for them, as well as 13 years as a special agent. And I've got a master's degree in intelligence studies and another master's in sports management.
So that's uniquely qualified for this very specific target. But what made you want to write this book? When did this come together for you? Like, hey, this is something I'm pretty qualified to write about and I need to write about it. Was there a moment?
Yes, I've been looking for a book to, a topic to write about for quite some time. And then when Spygate 2 happened, which was when Josh McDaniels moved from being the offensive coordinator of the Patriots over to the Broncos as their head coach, he brought with him a former Patriots videographer who had been involved in Spygate. And that videographer ended up taping another team's practice. And the Broncos, McDaniels, and the videographer all got in trouble for it. But at that point, as a Broncos fan, I really began wondering just how much spying goes on in the NFL. And that sent me on a 8-year project to research this book.
And how did you research? People behind the scenes, did you do like a deep throat kind of thing where you got information in parking lots, in dark parking lots?
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, so it was a real challenge to interview people. Obviously, it's a very sensitive subject. Nobody wants to talk about it because it can obviously reveal lots of team secrets, potentially get people in trouble with the league, as well as taint legacies. So I did interview personnel around the league, but the interviews were conducted anonymously. And in addition to that, I went through and read about 60 books written by or about former coaches that contained, if I was lucky, 2 or 3 pages worth of spy stories per book that I sucked out and added them to mine.
Kevin Bryant with us here on ESPN 97.5, wrote the book on spying in the NFL, Spies on the Sidelines, NFL Espionage. So we know Bill Belichick, right? I mean, this is that immediately, if you're going to talk about spying on the sidelines, it's about Bill Belichick. How much more besides Belichick and the Patriots is going on?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a hard question to answer today. So all teams use collection techniques to gather information on their opponents, okay? So there are a lot of techniques that are absolutely permissible, such as advanced scouting. We all know about, film study is a big part of that today. Collecting information that's out there in the media, signals collection, debriefing players at switch teams. But there's also a lot of stuff that is either in the gray, such as, elicitation or looking for paperwork in other teams' locker rooms. And then there's stuff that's flat out illicit, not permitted, such as headset tampering, for example, or using a listening device in a locker room or a facility.
Who's done that? Do you have an example of when that's happened?
Yeah, so, the listening device it's been proven to be have been used in college football before. One coach has admitted to another that, yeah, I did it. It hasn't been confirmed in the NFL. But, one thing the book goes into is not just what's been done, not just the collection techniques, but the countermeasures that are used, because teams are absolutely paranoid of this. Like Peyton Manning revealed as late as last year during a broadcast that whenever he was, playing away in New England, he would drag his wide receivers into the shower room, I would imagine, to probably turn on the water to mask the sound of their conversations, because he was convinced about, the potential that the Patriots were using listening devices in those locker rooms.
Yeah, and the Patriots, listen, the Patriots also had someone filming the Cincinnati Bengals pregame run through from up in the press box as well. We know about Deflategate. I mean, the Patriots are habitual line steppers. We already know that. I think what is also interesting is that a lot of NFL teams for years, and this is not illegal, it's not espionage, but they scour open source information as well. Any information, they will listen to certain sports talk shows. They have gathered information from every press conference, every article that's written by local media, anything that they can find that can be used as intel about what the team's doing, which now has made teams very reluctant for media members to tweet anything from practice at all.
Right, absolutely. So you're correct, and I've got a whole chapter on that subject, just how teams use the media to gather information, and as well as the countermeasures that they use to try to protect against that. So, what I will say is, that's one of those measures that all the teams are using. There are certainly quite a few, such as like spying on practices, that only some coaches are going to do and engage in. But what I will say, what you will find with spies on the sidelines is, there's a large history of teams that are willing to go into that black area that most are not. But it's a long list of coaches and teams that have had a lot of success in the NFL, such as, George Halas with the Bears, Hank Stram with the Chiefs, Al Davis with the Raiders, Sid Gilman with the Chargers. Of course, today we've got Belichick. But, a lot of those big-name coaches that have had a lot of success in the NFL, these are guys that are willing to go to any extremes to get those victories and those wins.
We've got Kevin Bryant, the author of Spies on the Sideline. And this is, from your background, do you feel like the NFL, from what you know about the NFL, I know 2020 had a big issue with, we had the pandemic and we still had a draft and it was online, and you talk about this in the book, how the NFL teams now had to, make sure that they weren't hacked into when they've got home passwords like password 123 protecting an entire organization's information. How far behind is the NFL, do you think, in terms of counter espionage tactics, since you've done that in real world, defense?
Yeah, so I mean, the NFL has a lot of security procedures set up to ensure that, you look at like NFL headsets, you're talking military level encryption there that the NFL is using.
Oh, wow.
Right. So it's pretty severe. Of course, and having said that, the security is only as good as the password that you're using, of course, behind that. So, you know, while some teams will say, hey, it's, you know, they'll say, hey, it's impossible to crack into these headsets. Well, no, the reality is all you have to be able to do is to steal a password. And if you can steal a password, then you have access to the headsets. So, you know, it's a complicated question. Is you know, as good as the headset technology is, of course, if you're dealing with a draft where people are using their home computers to be able to log in, and of course you have team security and information technology specialists trying to help out these coaches to ensure that their communications are secure. You know, but this was, you know, that draft, the virtual draft was really an ad hoc type of deal, and you're not going to have the level of security that you're going to have if you had it from your home facility or if you were at the NFL draft where this is a normal and standard thing.
Well, they do know. Have you read about Chris Correa, the Cardinals for the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team that was hacked into the Astros system and was getting information from the Astros?
He did prison time.
Yeah, he did prison time. I mean, it's a crime to do what you're talking about here.
Yeah, so some of it is. Absolutely. So it becomes very, you know, it's a very interesting subject because ultimately all these teams fall within a company, which is the NFL, right? And the NFL teams are pretty much nothing more than branches of the NFL, although they have their own owners. So it becomes legally, it becomes very, very complicated, this whole matter of spying, because you have to ask, is this industrial espionage that's going on, or is it a internal company matter because all these teams fall under the NFL itself? And this is still something in sports for a lot of various leagues that is still being worked out, and it's a very complicated matter, and frankly, the NFL wants to handle it all internally and as quietly as possible, because just like we saw with Spygate, these types of scandals really, you know, they have a big impact, a big negative impact on the NFL.
Oh, absolutely. That's Kevin Bryant, Spies on the Sidelines, NFL Espionage. The book is out. You can get it
over. Find it on Amazon.
Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon.
Hardcover on Amazon. You can find it on your Kindle. So a lot of information in there that NFL teams are well aware of. I can't wait to read the part about the not advanced scouting, but the NFL draft stuff and how you handle that. I know that Brian Decker told me that, you know, part of he shared with me, Kevin, and these are things that you will know about, I'm sure. But, you know, the way that you talk to people in different countries, he told me in the Middle East, you sit closer to make someone uncomfortable. If you want to show them that you're a friend and this is not, you're not interrogating, you're just interviewing. There's a certain way that you stand and a distance that, you know, he talked about the different types of tables you have and he said, we then bring that to the NFL. And when you're trying to gather, I said, how do you gather information on a player? You got to find out who you're getting. He goes, you have a limited amount of time. And people like us, military backgrounds who have, you know, this is what we're used to trying to do is ascertain as much as we can. He said, we have to use all the skills that we learned in the military to try to gain a personality profile on that player as quickly as we can in 15 to 30 minutes. He said, it's difficult.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, you know, these teams, a lot of them have security. Well, they all have security officials. And most of these guys are former FBI agents. And if they're not FBI, they're at least have former law enforcement backgrounds. And so, you know, these guys are used to conducting interviews, finding out information. And one of the reasons it really helps to have a former FBI guy on your team is because if you're trying to research a draft prospect who may have had some level of criminal activity in the past, and, you know, there's a very good chance he was a minor when this happened and those records are sealed. Well, it's very helpful to have this FBI guy who can go in to a police department and to talk to them and be able to say, hey, you know, I was a former FBI guy. And then you see those, you know, those doors start to open where if a coach tried to do that, they'd be like, hey, get out of here. I got nothing for you. But a former FBI agent, you know, they've got some weight. They've got the history. They've got a lot of law enforcement background to get people to open up, which is really interesting. The other thing I think that's really interesting about research and draft prospects is sometimes teams will even use surveillance to follow these guys around and see what type of person they are. This is really beneficial when you're trying to look for gang or drug or alcohol abuse issues. And teams do things like stake out bars just to see how much a prospect will drink, to try to, you know, figure out if the team wants to draft him or not.
Well, I don't want that. That's for sure.
I don't need You're that. You're not getting drafted.
I don't need that in my life. That's for sure. That's Kevin Bryant, and it's Spies on the Sidelines, NFL Espionage. Great stuff. We really appreciate it. Thanks for your time, and good luck with the book.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, Kevin Bryant right here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know what's coming? Kansas is coming. Kansas is coming to Houston. Kansas won their first game. Kansas is not the layup that it used to be. Kansas beat Texas at Texas last year. Kansas is coming to TDECU Stadium. Not this Saturday, but September 17th. Are you going to be there? All right. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff, $12 tickets. It's a Big 12 team. Cougs are going to the Big 12. Got to show that you're going to have support for your Big 12 team, that you want to get off to a great start. Kansas, guess who's the boss here? Guess who's going to be the new boss in the Big 12? It's going to be the U of H. That's right. So guess what? Got to fill that place up. $12 tickets. Go call 713-GO-COUGS or uhcougars.com/tickets to get your ticket today. They got a food drive operated by Peeps. Drop off your donations there. Tailgating 4 hours before the game. Cougar walk at 2:45. Red Bull Jump Team, Spirit of Houston Marching Band, entertainment by the cheerleaders Cougar Dolls and Shasta and Sasha, and DJ in the student section. All going on at the big game. It's the opener. Cougs played well last week, won the game, going to go to Tech this week, beat that ass, and here we go. Time for you to get out to TDU ECU Stadium. 713-GO-COUGS, uhcougars.com/tickets.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.